This is Leo Baybue for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. Coming up at the end of September, at least the last weekend of September it is, that we have the 11th Annual Lake Superior 2020 Studio Art Tour. The dates are Friday, September 23rd through Sunday, September 25th. And we'll be speaking with Gail Rosenquist and Paul Zoldan, important organizers of all of the different sites. I think there are 14 different host studios, so to speak, although some of them are farms, not studios. And there are a number of sponsors, too. And Gail and Paul will talk about that. But I have the pleasure today of being able to visit with Sean McManus, who's a stone sculptor. And Sean, welcome to KTWH, first of all.
Oh, thank you, Leo. Thank you very much.
Sean, you are appearing at Paul and Gail's house, kind of like ground, I call it the command control center of this very grassroots 2020 art tour. But it has grown over the years, and I think was last year perhaps your first year taking part.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I was very impressed with the whole scope of the show itself. How it covers a large area. A very large area. I was very impressed.
And I suppose you mean geographically, because it goes
all
the way from Point at the northeast end up in Lake County along the shoreline back within close proximity of the city border of Duluth past west of the McQuaid Road. And in points in between, there are, I noticed in my neighborhood, Northern Clover Valley, there are like six sites. You know, I feel like I'm in the middle of this artistic blossoming out here. And in the woods.
You can't swing a stick in Minnesota without hitting an artist, I'm telling you.
And, of course, we want to hit them with our attention, not our...
Not physically, right.
Well, physically, or let's say getting in touch with the artist one-on-one, face-to-face. Coming out of this pandemic, we've struggled to be in close connection, whether we're on radio or I bet a visual artist, same thing. Struggled to be in close proximity to the lovers of art, the patrons of art, and same with our radio listeners.
It was quite the time we've been going through.
Knowing that last year was the first time I encountered you at a 2020 site, that doesn't say anything about how long you've been at developing your art. Can you tell us a little bit about your path to being a stone? Do you call yourself a stone sculptor, or what do you prefer to say?
It's as close as I can figure it. Sculpting with stone. I worked with stonemasons back in the late 1980s. I was just graduated college, and I was publishing poetry, living out of a tent in the north woods, in the woods of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Okay.
And
deep woods. Okay.
Right. And we had an office. I had a mailbox in town at a drugstore. They had post office boxes at the drugstore that you could rent, but they weren't called boxes. They were called suites. So it sounded like you had an office.
Yes.
And I had business cards made up, you know, suite 211. It was a nice little arrangement, but they wanted to tear the building down for some reason. Oh, it was an old, historically old building. It was like maybe the third building built in Marquette. It was the first one over two stories. So ended up working to save the building. And in the course of doing that, this was just so I could have an address and a business card and live out in the tent in the woods. And so I started working with stonemasons, fixing the building.
Literally the building you were trying to save needed stonework itself on itself?
Yep. Okay. Yep. And I started working with stonemasons, and 2 years into the project, I was still working with stonemasons, and I had an invitation to go to a stonemason school through the International Masonry Institute. It was in Fort Ritchie, Maryland for 3 months. And so, of course, I'd take out.
Sure.
And I got to the school, and like I said, it was a 3-month school, and they had certain exercises you had to be proficient at. And I'd already been working with stonemasons for a while, and so I finished all my exercises about 2.5 months in. I still had 2 weeks to go and nothing to do. And one of my instructors sat me down at a table and on the sun and put a piece of limestone in front of me and showed me how to hold a chisel.
Huh.
And yeah, you just do what you want. And we, well, it was a very, that's basically where it started. It inscribed some hills and did a landscape and scratched one fine day into the side of it. Another instructor came by who worked on cathedrals in France, and he looked at the scratching and he says, I teach you how to write and stuff. And so he taught me how to write in stone.
Uh-huh.
It's all basically blossomed out of that.
Wow. I have a level of ignorance that's, you know, pretty profound in some of the fine art. I'm an aficionado, think I know a little bit about music, except how to play it, for instance.
Yeah.
So, Sean, I'm preparing you for ignorant questions. But So can you help me out to understand concepts in sculpture where I think in one way of sculpture as turning a block of some material into a form that looks representational of what it is, as opposed to creating more two-dimensional art on the stone to essentially draw in three dimensions something into the face of the stone. Are all of these things stone sculpture, or is one thing something else?
Yes, as I've learned it, there are two types of stone sculpture, the bas-relief and the haut relief.
Okay.
The bas-relief is the low relief. Like if you look on a coin and you see some dead president's face on the face of the coin. That's a bas-relief. That's low relief.
Okay.
Now, let's say you take something like Michelangelo's David. That would be a haut relief.
Oh, okay.
That's more three-dimensional and takes up space a lot more.
Right. In the bas-relief, there's still dimensionality, but it is not trying to be a wraparound 360 degrees. You see the figure in all sides.
I've been exploring the bas-relief. Lately, I've been trying to incorporate three dimensions in the two dimensions.
Sure.
And that in itself is a fine exercise. So, yeah.
So if people are interested in coming up to Paul and Gail's studio on the weekend of September 23rd, the 25th, the 2020 Art Tour, and they come to, you're perhaps going to be under a canopy out in the yard there and have your works.
Yeah, I have a tent.
What diversity of pieces, you know, in size and scope, what geometric shape versus inscribed drawing? What kind of things would you typically bring out? I don't know if some of your work is so massive that it kind of has to sit in one place, too.
That's the thing with art. You make it, it's got to go somewhere, right?
Right. So, I don't know if you make it on a flatbed.
I have a couple of pieces that are in prototype development. I have an equatorial sundial that I've cut out of old pool table. And it's a size, it's a small piece, sits on a tabletop.
Okay.
But I have the stock. I would like to make this a little larger, actually, like you're maybe about like 3 feet in diameter, and as opposed to a foot. So
some of your concepts are scalable depending upon your access to the materials.
It's very good.
To go really large. Like if somebody said, oh, 3 feet's great, but how about 10?
Right. Well, if you can find the place where it's going to go, because these things are heavy and you don't move around a lot. So,
a pool table, that would be slate that you typically find on a pool table. Is that not what you mean? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And no, I've been working with slate lately.
Okay.
There's a wealth of it around, so might as well use it somehow.
Slate is kind of interesting. Is it kind of friable or
It's a sedimentary stone.
Yeah.
So there are layers that will peel off easily in one direction, but be very, very firm in another direction.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So
your typical work on slate, though, is essentially an inscription or etching of lines, curves, figures.
I've been trying to incorporate trying to view landscapes more as abstracts. The shape of land up to the lake shore and the sky, and using different chisels to create different textures to represent different elements. There's a lot of ways you can go with that one.
Yeah, and if the listeners are interested, you probably wouldn't mind me mentioning to folks that you have a Facebook page for McManus Stoneworks, oh, yeah. Right? And sure. McManus is spelled M lowercase A-C, capital M-A-N-U-S. And so you can see some of the larger slate pieces with, I think it's identified as Sawtooth Mountains near Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, mm-hmm. there's a different texture to the sky than there is to the water. Is that mm-hmm. is that an illusion? Or
No. You made that happen. Of different chisels.
That is remarkable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that even on a flat screen, I'm getting this impression that there's a lot going on there then to create the different texture.
Yeah. If you look close enough in the waves, you can see each hammer strike in the waves.
Okay.
If you look at the sky, you see little points. Each one of those was a hammer point. But the thing that was the hammer points you see have erased the layers of hammer points that were laid in beforehand. So you have no idea of the amount of time that goes into it. Stones absorb energy, right? And
right.
All the energy you want to put into it, that stone will take it. Sometimes they break.
That was my question to you, is if you get a response from the stone that tells you that I can take a lot, and then is it possible you find one quadrant of that stone where it isn't the same as the other, and you surprise or disappoint yourself with a little bit of
It's incredibly, it works on your patience. You can put days on a piece and break it. The Sawtooth Mountain carving you're talking about.
Yes.
That was originally scheduled to be 36 inches by 36 inches square.
Yes.
The top there, I was just working on the sky and popped a hole. Poof, popped a hole. Oop, popped another hole. Next thing I know, there's four holes in it. And it broke my heart. You know, what do I do? Well, you keep working. You keep working, and we'll figure something out. And that's where the art comes in. And I patched it.
I was going to ask you what came to you. Yeah.
I patched it, and Paul Zoltan took pictures of it for the webpage. And I saw the pictures of it, and I picked out every hole right off the bat. So I went back, and I just cut that right off, cut that part of the stone right off. So it's not a square stone now, but there are no holes patched into it.
Okay, because I was going to tell you, it looks pretty darn good on the screen in front of me, Sean. So
it looks fine without the
great.
Bright. You know?
I just wanted to let folks know who just tuned in that we're talking with Sean McManus, a man who works in stone, sculptures, bas-relief, and more. And you have been doing this as your vocation, Sean? Mm-hmm. Or is there another day job where you actually do masonry as well?
I've been doing this as a vocation since 2009. I've been incorporated as McManus Stoneworks since 2002.
Okay.
Occupied a space in the Duluth Art Institute for a number of years. Met some incredible people there.
And Sean, do you create pieces for sale along with taking commissions, and what proportion of the work do you wind up, you know, having to devote to each? Because I suppose if somebody is paying you to get something in a certain period of time, then you kind of have to drop everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, things priority. One learns to prioritize. Indeed, orders come in. Orders take precedence. Currently, there's an order in, came in July, and by August, I had left a message back in touch. Yep, you're all set. And she came by today, knocked on the back door. Oh, yes. Is my cat carved yet? Yes. So I showed it to her. She goes, that's nice.
Yes.
I
know.
And some whiskers. It's like, you want an eye and some whiskers? Sure. No problem. It's going to take a little more time, but, you know, we'll go to eye and whiskers, so.
For folks who want to indulge a little bit in seeing the kinds of forms that Sean has carved into these stones, there are, I'm going to call them, I don't know. Are they canids or are they bears? The ones that look a little bit northwest.
The bears and the wolves?
Yes.
Yeah, those bears and wolves.
Okay.
And those wolves have also been German shepherds, golden retrievers, and cocker spaniels. So according to what the memorial is for.
Thank that, you. And that helps me to understand that these are memorial stones.
Indeed. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, there are quite something. Do you have, when you're, for instance, showing at the Lake Superior 2020 Art Tour, will you have a portfolio, or will you be happy to take time away from just showing what you have there to maybe talk up a possible special
job
commission?
I'm more than happy to talk to anybody at any time. I don't really have the portfolio per se. The stones are there if the stones were to be mounted into the ground. That's one way. If they were to be displayed inside, we could have a cedar base on it. You could have a cedar base outside, too.
Sure. Okay. Range of options for presentation. I get it.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm going to give you a chance to tell folks other places and other ways that folks might interact with you. Do you want to give anybody an email or a phone number to contact you,
Sean,
if they'd like to pursue?
I can be reached at SeanMack63@yahoo.com.
SeanMac? Sean Mack? Okay.
Yep. SeanMack63@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting you in person again. I know I seem to remember something that was a representation of either Lake Superior and or the whole of the Great Lake. Is that is that a special kind of a overlay that you've created for yourself that you can reproduce at different scales even?
My muse is Lake Superior, and she sometimes calls for large-scale carvings, but not everybody can afford large-scale carvings, nor do they want to carry them back to their car.
Never mind carrying them back to their car. They don't know where to put them when they get home.
I make them size of a loose-leaf piece of paper, 8.5 by 11. There you go.
Great.
It all depends what's called for.
I suppose you don't use a three-hole punch so they fit in a binder when they're 8.5 by 11.
No, this is not
the Flintstones.
It gets individually wrapped.
Excellent.
And yes.
Well, Sean, I think that people would really enjoy getting to see what all is possible with somebody who's working with stone, and it seems like you're willing to talk about possibilities.
Oh yeah, if we can dream it, we can see it through. What can I say? The hammer hits the chisel, and the chisel hits the stone.
And so what remains kind of carries the arm and even the creativity and or spirit of the striker of that hammer.
Yeah, it's where the chisel creates shadow in the stone. The shadows bring life to the stone.
Wow. Yeah, because we are talking about creating images of living things and, the earth, the geology coming, water and land coming together on the shoreline. All of it is pretty animate. You're taking it from a piece of rather still stone and conveying it to people, and that's kind of magic.
Yeah.
I salute the magic that you're summoning.
Indeed. Thank you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to visit with you, Sean, and anyone who wants to meet you in person might do so on the Lake Superior 2020 Studio and Art Tour. You can get more information about that, I believe, online at Lake Superior 2020.
I invite him up to Gail and Paul's place. It's the most beautiful place. It's my favorite show of the year. It really is. What's the ideal setting?
Well, we'll be talking with Paul and Gail next week, and we'll get the lowdown on where they are on the Hill Road in Alden Township. Mm-hmm. And I've just found it, Sean. It's lakesuperior2020.com, and you can find the map of all the great studios, because you'll be at one of 14 studios where this magic will be happening.
Yeah.
Great talking to you, Sean. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Leo.
Take care.
You have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. That was Sean McManus, an artist in stone who will be at the 2020 Studio and Art Tour September 23rd through 25th. This is Leo for KTWH.